Today, I'm going to try. If I don't, I work here every week. I come back every Sunday, y'all. I'm back every Wednesday, too, and I hope you come back as well. But we started a series called God, Sex, and Sexuality, and we've talked about several things, and really on Wednesdays, I've been kind of filling in some of the gaps, and so I encourage you. This is the single thing that the devil is using to destroy humanity. It's sex. So we've got to understand it from God's perspective, and that's what we've been doing. And let me say this too, because today I want to talk about freedom from sexual immorality. And please understand that this series is not about it's not about condemnation. It is not, nor is it about condoning, but it is about compassion without compromise. We have compassion for all of us, because all of us are born into sin, not by what we've done, but because of what Adam's done. We have to have an understanding. I believe that every single person, myself included, me first, if I went through every single person in this place today, each of you could tell me a story about how your family has been broken, how your heart has been broken. Every person, you could tell about your father or the absence of your father, or the desertion of your father, or the abuse of your father, or something. And we can't point fingers because all of us have experienced it. If you were mistreated by your dad, guess what? So was he. And he didn't know how to treat you as a son because he didn't have a pattern set before him. And this is why we have the Bible. This is why we have the scriptures, because God knew that humanity, all of us have a story. All of us. So please hear me when I talk about these things like homosexuality and lesbianism and all the sexual immorality of the world. I'm not pointing the finger because I got four pointed at me. I'm the guy who was addicted to pornography. You get what I'm saying? I'm the guy who went through a divorce. So please, please don't ever get an offense about what I'm saying, because I'm telling my story too. And the only reason I can stand up here boldly and say that is because I've been set free by the grace of God. God is so good. God is so good. It doesn't matter how bad you've blown it. He will hook you up. God will bless you. All right? So this is not about, but it is about us compassionately and lovingly sharing the truth in love, so that you know, because we have a generation that's coming behind us that is facing things that are facing things that we have never faced. Are you with me? And so that's why we're talking about it. If you missed any of the services, I encourage you to go back online and see it, so you can understand and put up the wall around your family. Say amen. Today I want to talk about freedom from sexual immorality. Freedom from it. Say freedom. All right, so let's go through. I've got, let's just start with my notes. I'm going to go down. I'm going to stop here when it's time for me to stop. So if I have to continue next week, that's what we'll do. Is that all right? All right, I'm not going to keep y'all here long. I got an appointment. What a cutie pie. Come on, somebody. Girl, I can't wait to see you. All right, where was I? Turn in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. 1 Thessalonians, we've been talking about sex and sexual immorality and God's perspective on this because of the culture that we live in. Amen? 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to read it out of the NIV. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. Anybody want to please God? I do. In fact, you are living. He said, I want you to please God, and you're pleasing to God. I just want to be more pleasing, continually growing this. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, to be more and more pleasing. In other words, grow in it. Your life should be a steady growth. A steady growth. You ought to be learning from the mistakes that you've made. You ought to learn from that. Amen? That's part of life. It's not negative to have something bad happen. Come on, somebody, you figure it out. Come on, somebody, hit the person next to you and say, I'm figuring this thing out. Yeah. For you know what instructions, Paul says, we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, separated is what that means, that you should avoid sexual immorality, Paul writes in the New Testament, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. I want you to see this passage because he's saying each of us are going to have to get a plan for our own selves. You know, I can give you some keys here, but each of you have different tests and different temptations. So he's saying you've got to learn to control your body, your own self. This is a great warning. So no condemnation, but no condoning. We're not going to condone fornication, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, or any of that. We're not going to condone any of that, but we're not going to condemn people who get caught up in stuff. We're going to love people because many people have been molested. And most people that end up in homosexuality, 85% statistics say, have been molested. Sexual abuse in one form or another. And the other factor is divorce. Not the influence of a father or one parent not in the household. It is damaging. It is destructive. You got to be sure. Marriage is for grown people. Hey, and sex is for married grown people. Hit the person next to you and say, just loosen up. It's all right. I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you what it is. Because you'll have lives tore up that you love, and there's no greater pain. I don't understand fathers that don't feel that. That don't feel the pain of your kids. I don't get that. I don't get how somebody can walk away from their kid. That's depending on you. That needs you. Jesus needed the Father to say, I approve you. I love you. You're blessed. I'm pleased in you. This is my, proud of you. This is my, that's, those are my kids on that screen. I love them. And I want them to know I love them. And kids need that. And it affects them for the rest of their lives if they don't get it. And if you don't, as a parent, go and correct it. Say, I'm sorry. Some people, it's so hard for them just to say, I'm sorry. I blew it. I messed up. You owe that to your kids. All of us do. I did the best I could with what I knew. Now I know better, so I do better. Come on, somebody. All right. Where was I? Good God, Jesus. Not in the past. He said, learn to take care of your own body. I can tell I'm not going to get far today. Not in the past. And that's Siva and them's fault. Not in the passionate lust like the pagans and Brooke singing that song. That girl can sing right there, for real, though. Not in the passionate lust like the pagans, the unbelievers, who do not know God. Say, we know God. Y'all get what he's saying here? We know now we're supposed to control our bodies. The world doesn't know that. All right, watch this. And that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. He says, don't be abusing each other sexually in the body of Christ. Don't be sleeping with each other. The Lord will, look at this. This is New Testament. And I got to explain all this. Please come on Sunday and Wednesday. And if you can't be here, get online so you understand this. Look at this. For the Lord will punish all those who commit such sins as we told you and warned you before. God, does it get any simpler than that? For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. That's a cuss word in the body of Christ. Four-letter cuss word, holy. Say holy. Come on. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction of living holy and controlling your body, not getting caught up in sexual immorality, does not reject the human being, but God himself. Y'all see that? The very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Why is God making such a big deal of this? Because it is a big deal and it will destroy your life. Please know that God is a loving God. Just like a loving parent loves their kids, you will sacrifice for your kids. You're supposed to sacrifice for your kids. I remember Trey as a little boy one time, they were celebrating, Mother's Day came, then Father's Day came, and he said, I wish there was a kid's day. I said, boy, every day is kid's day. Me and your mama pay all these bills. Me and your mama buy all this food and cook all this food, take care of you, wiped your butt when you couldn't. Every day is kids' day. Kids need to recognize that. Come on, somebody. All right, stick with me. I'm getting all crazy up here. Look, so there's a process for freedom. There's a process for freedom from sexual immorality, particularly homosexuality and lesbianism, because of the culture. Because the culture has become so accepting and so saturated with sexual immorality, it is a process. Say process. You get it? All of us were born into sin. All of us have been shaped into iniquity, like David said in Psalms chapter 51. So it's a process, even after you get born again, to undo a lot of this thinking. Are y'all with me? All right? I mean, every show you turn on now, every show you turn on, it's going to show sexual immorality. Every show. You know, and this is why this is so big on my heart. Our 12-year-old son, he's in Atlanta right now. The show that he's on that's going to come out at the beginning of the year, CBS wanted to buy the show. CBS said, we want this show. This is our show. We let us buy the show. They said, nah, comedy, we want the freedoms to do what we want to do. You get what I'm saying? The freedom to cuss, the freedom to display different things. You get what I'm saying? That's just our culture. That's our culture. You get what I'm saying? So this is what our kids are facing. My son's right there in the middle of it. But of course, we're Christians. She's right there with him. She's, you know, monitoring everything and all this kind of stuff. But this is just the world that we live in. Come on, somebody. You know it. You know it just as well as I do. You can't even watch a commercial without two women kissing. Two dudes kissing now. To make that normal. Come on, Wednesdays. I'm breaking all that down. All right? Okay. And again, no hate on anybody. That's the culture. Do y'all get this? We love the patient, but we hate the cancer. Do y'all get the distinction there? You can love the patient without loving the thing that's killing them. Even if they don't know it's killing them, I know it's killing them. Okay, that's why we have the Bible. All right. Okay, so y'all get, it's a process, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But we as believers, we are the pillars of truth. And not just truth, but of love and truth. It has to be grace and truth. It has to be spirit and truth. It can't just be truth, because grace without truth is meaningless, but truth without grace is mean. And we don't want to be mean, but we have to spread the truth in love. In love. Okay, amen. Amen. All right, so look over in your Bible, Matthew chapter 5. Y'all have seen me read this a million times. But this is who we are as believers, Matthew chapter 5. Then we're going to start, we're going to look at our process here, all right, to get free of sexual freedom, all right, sexual immorality. Matthew chapter 5, look what Jesus said, verse 13 through 16 in the Message Bible. Let me tell you why you're here. This is Jesus talking to all of us believers. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? People will not know unless we show it to them and tell them. But they're looking at our lives, all right? So we need to get free. We need to live a life that's exemplary of the kingdom of God. We're all imperfect, y'all, so this requires God. This requires a close relationship. So don't think I'm pointing fingers at you. That's what, because people get all offended and start hating on me, and I'm not hating on anybody. I just want to show you the truth so you can be free. Come on, somebody. Hit the person next to you and say, stop being mean to Pastor. Dang. I'm trying to help you. You know how you thought your dad was being? Look, this is my ultimate goal. I want to be a dad. I want to be a father to this church. And my prayer is, Lord, help me to be a father. Help me to be a loving father to these great people. Help me to feel their pain. Help me to love them. Help me. But don't y'all be knucklehead kids that be hating on dad. Come on, say, we love you, Pastor. Y'all ain't say it strong enough. Say it one more time. What's wrong with y'all in the back? Y'all can't hear me? One more time. It's Father's Day. Y'all better say it. All right. Don't make me tell you next time. Just say it on your own. Take my belt off like my dad used to. All right. All right, I'm just playing. All right, watch this. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning. I read all that. How will people taste godliness, right? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Do you see why? Most believers are more trained and discipled by the culture and the devil rather than, really, are y'all with me? Rather than the word and Christ. Most believers are cultured by the world and they're discipled by the culture and the world versus Christ and the Word. Are y'all with me? Don't let the culture make you like them. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearer, say I'm a light bearer. Don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket. Do you? You don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand so now that I put you on a hilltop. I told you I'm worthless today. On a light stand, shine, keep open house, be generous with your lives. Do y'all hear how I'm an open book with you? I tell you my weaknesses and shortcomings so you don't get ashamed of yours and hide them from God. You don't have to tell everybody, but tell God. He knows already, but unless you're able to admit, you know what, I got a problem. I got a challenge with this, Lord. I need your help. He can't help you if you don't come to him with it. Say, help me, Jesus. All right? By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God. Boom. This generous Father in heaven. Say, God's loving. All right, here we go. Here we go. I got eight things I want to tell you here. Chances are I'm not going to get to all of them. At a quarter till, Bob, that's in 15 minutes, let me know. Because I got to do my altar call and all that too. All right? And y'all got things to do. Freedom from sexual immorality, right? Here we go. Number one, recovery begins with true salvation through Jesus. True salvation. Recovery begins with true salvation with Jesus. Two parts to that. Letter A means salvation. Is Jesus truly your Lord and Savior? I believe there are people who come to church that aren't saved. They've never, because they didn't clearly understand, or they're just, you know, they kind of like were grandfathered into this. Their parents kept coming to church. They kept coming and never really just made a decision. God does not have grandchildren. He only has kids. Are you with me? So you must be born again. You're not born again through your parents' rights. Say amen. All right, so number one, salvation. John chapter 3, verse 3 through 6. Let's just make sure. If you're not saved, here's how it works. Jesus answered and said, I'm in John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless he's born of water, natural birth, and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So being born again means born of the Spirit. Y'all see that? That which is born of the Spirit, born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And plainly, I just wanted you to see here that new birth is a scriptural thing to be born again. You're born by your parents, right? Birth through your mother. But God says there's another birth of the Spirit. You are spirit, soul, and body, and the new birth is how you get born again. Here's how you do it. Romans chapter 10. Verse 9 and 10, say, make it plain, Pastor. Yeah, just in case somebody doesn't know. All right. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what will happen? You will be saved. How does it happen? Verse 10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified or made right with God. Your heart is what does it. It's your heart. Parrots can say Jesus is Lord. It's a heart thing. It's a heart. It's believing it in your heart. And watch this. Let me go on. Believe you and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So he says it's a thing here with your heart and your mouth working in conjunction and declaring that Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart. Lord means owner. Jesus said, how do you say to me, Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? So he's saying being Lord is not more, it's not just a confession. A landlord is the owner of the house. You can't do anything to the house you want to. Are you with me? When you say, Jesus, you're my Lord, I'm saying, Jesus, you're my owner. I'm submitted to your life now. What you want is what I want for my life because you're my Lord. Are y'all with me? Savior and Lord. Savior, there's a lot of people that are born again and he's their Savior, but not Lord. Lord changes your life. Savior keeps you out of hell. Are you with me? Come on, somebody. Somebody can save you from drowning. But if they became your Lord, you're going to follow them for the rest of your life. Y'all get the difference? Okay. All right. Now, turn over in your Bible to 1 John chapter 3, 9 and 10. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. The result of being born again. Several results. Several areas of your life that it impacts and influences. But look at this. In 1 John, the same guy who wrote being born again in John chapter, Gospel of John, he writes, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, 1 John chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. He says, no one born or begotten of God, that means born again, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin. What he's saying is, if you're really born again, you can't continue in sin the way you were before. Now, what do I mean by that? Let me break this down. Let's just read on. He says, for God's nature abides in him. His principle is life. The divine sperm remains permanently within him, and he cannot practice sinning because he is born, begotten of God. He says, if you're truly born again, there's a different relationship that sin has with you now. You can sin, but it don't have the same impact anymore. You get what I'm saying? You can get caught up in something, but you ain't feeling good about it anymore. Come on. Oh, you're going to be funny right there? Don't make me come down there. Are y'all? Oh, yeah, just tap it. You get what I'm saying? So check the mirror. If nothing's changed since you, quote unquote, got born again, check your born again status. Sin ought not feel the same way anymore. You get what I'm saying? You used to brag about being drunk and high and sleeping with a bunch of people. If you're still bragging about that, check your salvation card. You follow what I'm saying? You don't feel good about that, right? And back up again, I forgot where I was. Begotten and born of God, right? Now, thank you, guys. And action is born of God. Neither is anyone who does not love his brother, his fellow believer in Christ. So it has a change in your heart. Your actions, yeah, they'll change after a while, after you hear more of the word. But it ought to change something on the inside. He said, it's going to have to because the sperm of God is now on the inside of you. A pregnant woman, if you're really pregnant, something's going to change. There's going to be some impact. We're going to see some evidence of this eventually. Y'all get what he's saying here? Say amen right there. All right. So that was the first letter, salvation. B, the same Jesus that saved you will also deliver you from any and all bondage. So you could be, first of all, the key to getting delivered is making sure you're born again. And then if you are born again, you can get deliverance from whatever's binding you. Now, again, no shade, no condemnation. All of us got stuff to work on. All of us got stuff that the Holy Spirit needs to fix. Hit the person next to you. Say, you too, stop tripping. Say, Pastor too, Pastor too. Stop talking about me. I told y'all. I'm just playing. I'm just messing with y'all. All right? Okay, look over at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. 13 to 4. Look at this. Colossians 1. He is going to deliver us from the power. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Look at this. The forgiveness of what? Sins. So all of our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. We've been delivered from the judgment of sin from God. In hell, in other words, we're going to miss that if we're really born again. However, sin has its own inherent punishment in it, which is why God doesn't want you to get bound up in sin, because it in itself is destructive. That's why it's called sin. All right? So you're forgiven, but from the condemnation of sin, the judgment of sin, but not from the consequence. That's the word I'm thinking, doctor. From the consequence. You can go over here and rob the church's chicken if you want to, and God is still in love with you, but not church's chicken in him. And you can call the church, and I will come and visit you and pray for you through the glass. You can put your hand right up here. I've done it before. Put your hand right up there in the hand. I'll put your hand up. And I'll pray for with a glass this thick between us. I ain't got no problem with that. Come on, somebody. Y'all get it? So there's consequences to sin. All right? But there is deliverance for it. Now, look over here. I want to show you this because I'm going to talk about this on Wednesday. I will be back Wednesday. All right? I'm going to be back Wednesday. Watch this. Turn over in your Bible to John chapter 16, verse 8 through 11. Y'all with me? I hope this is helping you. It's so awesome when you get set free from stuff, when stuff doesn't bind you any longer. It's so awesome. Amen? All right, look at John chapter 16, and here's where a lot of your deliverance is going to come from. If you're bound by pornography, if you're bound to things in your thoughts, this right here is going to really help you. Watch this. And that's what pornography does. Pornography, because sex has an impact physically and mentally, pornography is a great tool of the devil, a strong tool of the devil, because he gets you. Come on, we all can use our thoughts right now to take us to have an impact and affect our body. Come on, somebody. Isn't that right? All right, I don't mean to get graphic by any means, but so pornography puts images in your mind to affect your body, to cause you to eventually do something, to act upon it. All right? All right, here we are in John chapter 16, verse 8. John chapter 16, verse 8. And by the way, marriage will not solve that problem of lust. You can be married and still be lusting with pornography. Y'all get what I'm saying? Marriage doesn't solve that. You got to deal with that lust problem. Amen. Here it is, John chapter 16. Jesus at the Last Supper with the disciples, explaining why he had to leave and what the Holy Spirit's going to do when Jesus leaves. He says, and when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will convict the world of sin, singular. Did y'all see that it was singular right there? And in Colossians, we've read that he forgave us of sins, but this one sin right here is the only. Redemption doesn't redeem you from this one sin. When the Bible talks about one sin that can't be forgiven for, this is the one sin. There's one sin called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that you see that Jesus talks about in all four Gospels, actually, that can't be forgiven. It's this right here. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. One sin, not sins. But the Holy Spirit's going to convict the world. The Holy Spirit is not here to convict the world of fornication, adultery, and all that stuff, of stealing and lying. That's not what he's here. He's here to convict the world of one sin and one sin only, because this is the one sin that will not be forgiven if you commit this sin. There's no redemption. The cross didn't cover this sin. One sin the cross doesn't cover: unbelief in Jesus. If you commit that sin and refuse to believe Jesus, the cross does not redeem you. It is the one unforgivable sin. Are y'all with me? So that is the sin that puts you in position to receive everything that God, once that's removed, and the only way to remove that is by believing in Jesus. Are y'all listening to me? Okay. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, here we go, of sin, because they, say the world, do not believe in me. I'll teach further on that on Wednesdays. But of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you, say that's us, you see me no more. So the Holy Spirit is to convict us of righteousness. And this is the key to your deliverance. This is the key to your deliverance, and this is what I'm going to focus on this Wednesday. You're the righteousness of God. Righteousness has a power that overcomes every sin of bond, all the sins that would bind you. You receive that gift upon salvation, and once you get that gift, you've got now the power over sins. Okay, so I got to focus on that, and that's a major, major deal right there. Because of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. What he's saying right here is the devil has already been judged, he's been defeated, and you've got power over him. That's what you got to know, because the devil's going to lie to you and say, oh, you're always going to be a homosexual. You're always going to be bound up by this. You're never going to get this. You're never going to have that. And you got to know, he's already been judged. He's a liar from the beginning. He's already been judged. Yes, you will. And you're going to overcome by this gift of righteousness that you receive at salvation. Somebody say amen right there. I'm preaching really, really good already on this Father's Day. Let me move on a little bit. Let me just get number one done at least. All right. So number one is salvation and then deliverance through that same name of salvation. Are y'all with me? Let's go to number two because this one's easy. Number two. Freedom from sexual immorality is you must want deliverance and freedom, not acceptance and understanding. Are y'all with me? You've got to want freedom and deliverance and not acceptance and understanding. All of us can come up with an excuse why we do some of the stupid stuff we do. But you've got to decide, no, I want what God wants. This is, and I've got to admit that, and I need some help. I need some help, Jesus, with this. Come on, somebody. Can y'all be open like that? I need some help with this pornography. I can't get free of this. I need some help with this lust. I need free of this. You got to be able to say to yourself and God, God, I need your help. Come on, somebody. Number two. Number three is easy as well. I put this down here under number two. Decide that you cannot live with this sin. Don't get accustomed to the bondage that you're in and say, well, this is just the way it is. You got to decide. And that's the same thing with broke. That's the same thing with alcoholism. That's the same thing with drug addiction. You got to determine, this is not the way it's going to be the rest of my life. I am not living like this the rest of my life. Come on, somebody. Push the person next to you and get passionate about that. Say, no, this is not where you're going to be next year. Next year, your life is going to be better than this. You get what I'm saying? You got to make a decision. Amen? All right, number three. I can cover number three because it's, I don't think I can cover number three. Let me see. Clock, 44. Let's kill it right there. Let's stop it right there because this one I have to go in a little bit more detail. Are y'all mad at me?
No.
Please, I just want to make sure. Listen, y'all, please come back. Come back, and then on Wednesday, if you can't come here, get online because we're talking about these same types of things, and I'm going to really break this down. You can overcome that addiction. You can overcome whatever challenge you're facing. On Wednesday, I'm going to talk about how to utilize this power of grace and righteousness. There's a power. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. Covers sin. You get what I'm saying? Like puts a blanket over it. Why does God need it? You need that love, but it doesn't say it covers problems. It covers sin. So you got to admit it's sin so God doesn't have to expose it. Love covers sin. When you say, good God, watch. When you say, God, I'm a sinner, God says, love will cover that. I just got a couple problems. You know, I'm just like everybody else. God's love does not cover that. Then you need the truth. The truth makes you free. You need the grace. You need the love so you can now deal with the sin that's covered. Are y'all with me? The truth makes you free. But then the Bible says in that grace causes you, if you've got grace, you can get deliverance from it. All right? So we need all three. And I'm going to start there on number three. Next week, give God a shout of praise. Yeah.